information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
We care.
Here to border on shows.
The law.
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
This is a good game. It's called The Truth. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the long-awaited return of Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, and it's the dawn of a new decade, January 1st, 2010, the year we make contact. This is episode 151 of MediaMonarchy.com, your source for news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. So much to go over. So long since I've been on the air with you, but what you can expect is, of course, what MediaMonarchy.com always brings you, all the 9/11 updates, BioWars and BioHealth, CyberspaceWar.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, Geopolitics, Obamasiah, Police State, War Whores, it's all here, January 1st, 2010, episode 151 of MediaMonarchy.com.
How are you going to convince your people to allow Americans to go on the flight?
We are going to get there first, and you have the knowledge to make the trip work.
I'm going on the flight.
How far away is Jupiter?
Far.
Mommy said you're going to be asleep for a long time. Are you going to die?
Dr. Floyd. Dr. Floyd. Dr. Arlov has encountered some strange data coming from Europa.
I will send Max down with a pod.
I wouldn't do that.
Oh, really?
You want to send a pod down there, send an unmanned one.
Hey, a piece of pie.
Cake. Piece of cake.
Cake, yes.
If this data is correct, then there's something down there.
It is correct. It was organic. And it was live.
Is it moving?
Yes.
It's incredible.
Listen for a minute. We've got to get out of here.
I can't just order us to leave here for no reason.
Well, forget reason. There's no time to be reasonable.
Can't find him!
Are you sure you're making the right decision? I think we should stop.
See, something's going to happen.
What?
Something
This will be our year.
darkest smile, smile for me, little one, and this will be all year. Took a long time to come. You don't have to worry, all your worry days are gone, and this will be all year. Took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you helped me up when I was down, and I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you. You gave me faith to go on. Now we're there, and we've only just begun. This will be our year. Took a long time to come. And this will be our year. Took a long time to come.
The Zombies. This will be our year. Going, of course, back to their legendary Odyssey and Oracle album. And before that, we heard the trailer to Peter Hyams' 1984 film, 2010, The Year We Make Contact. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so glad to be back in the booth, returning to the airwaves. It's probably been about 6 weeks since a live MediaMonarchy.com broadcast, and I'm so glad you guys have returned. I got a lot of comments, emails from folks going, man, what happened? Is there something wrong? I said at the very end of episode 150, which goes way back to November 20th, that I was going to take the rest of the year off. And for the most part, I stuck to my word. We still produced The New World Next Week, my video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. We've done, I guess, 4 or 5 episodes since I've last been live on the air. But we'll get to all that. All that's coming up. What I want to tell you right now is, again, my name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, as well as two of our newer sister sites, CyberspaceWar.com and FoodWorldOrder.com. And I'm coming to you live Friday morning, New Year's Day, the dawn of a new decade. It's January 1st, 2010. Tell me that's not going to take a little bit to get used to. Coming to you live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, in southeast Portland, Oregon. Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And again, a huge thanks to the affiliates. And hopefully you guys are still with me. Hopefully I haven't dropped off your radar over the last 6 weeks. ZeroPointRadio.com. Simulcasting live, 11 a.m. Mountain Time. And they can be heard terrestrially, 92.3 FM and 1500 AM in Casper, Wyoming. The worldwide home of free speech, revereradio.net, simulcasting just after 1 p.m. right now on the East Coast. And again, thanks to Free Radio Olympia, frolympia.org, 98.5 FM in Olympia, Washington, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 87.9 FM in Canton, Georgia. Thanks to stickam.com/groundzeroradio. 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California, berkeleyliberationradio.net, 90.7 in Kisilov, Alaska. Thanks to my man Wolfgang and oneskyradio.com, and of course, my man Glenn at cascadiapublicradio.org, and Jeff, my man who has helped pick up and increased a little bit of the download quality for Media Monarchy, radio23.org. You can, of course, make contact with me directly through my Facebook page, facebook.com/Media Monarchy. Of course, myspace.com/Media Monarchy, Twitter, YouTube. You can send me an email through Yahoo or Gmail, MediaMonarchy@Yahoo.com or Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. I should tell you the quote at the beginning of the show. This is a good game. It's called The Truth. Actually, it does come from 2010. I don't really know how to attack the amount of news that's piled up. I consistently posted to the website over the last 6 weeks, but I knew that there was going to be no way that I could do some epic amount of shows and go over every single thing I posted. Because in the meantime, I've traveled across the country and back, visited family, and my hometown of Fayetteville, West Virginia. Met my beautiful new niece. And when we got back to Portland, we moved to a new apartment. We had a little housewarming, New Year's Eve, New Year's party last night. Everything was beautiful. And I thank all of those who know or don't know or listening or aren't listening. Love and thanks. So essentially what I'm saying is I haven't done a whole hell of a lot of prep for this. So this episode 151 of MediaMonarchy.com might be a little raggedy. I don't have a bunch of clips prepared. I may be a little bit out of the loop. There's probably context that I'm lacking, that I won't be able to give you fully, of what's going on in the world of alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. But we're going to do our best. And essentially, what we're going to do is just turn to MediaMonarchy.com, CyberspaceWar.com, and FoodWorldOrder.com, and go over as much news as I can, working our way backwards through December, and the things that strike me, the things that are bold and of a larger font, we may explore those more deeply. But again, just because my pre-production, I'm slacking on my end that I haven't done the pre-production of this show, doesn't change, I think, what I always say, is that I ain't the smartest guy in the world. I don't have all this shit figured out myself. What we're trying to do is sift through the mass of information in this world. Information overload. And fill in some of the dots. Fill in some of the spaces. Connect some of the dots. The mainstream media doesn't always lie. It's not full of lies. But they sometimes lie by omission. And they are very guilty of not giving you the backstory. They know you're not going to remember last month, let alone something that maybe happened last decade. And why the new news stories have greater gravity. They don't fill that stuff in for you. That's what we're trying to do, I think, in the world of alternative news, with websites and podcasts and all of that, is we're taking this massive information, data mining it, and hopefully laying out a path and a map that we can all go through this, and in working together and in making contact, making actual, even physical contact with people, is the only way that this information is going to spread. And as I've said many, many times, I didn't coin the phrase by any stretch, but only by being more informed can you hope to make better decisions about your life and the lives of those that are around you, your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, your city, everybody. The more we can connect, the more we can cut a line through the fuzz and the noise, and yes, the lies and the obfuscations. That's basically what I try and do with this show. We're trying to lay out a path. It's been said more can happen in a week than can happen in a year. And I'm paraphrasing quite loosely. Even folks who don't pay attention so much to the news, or at least not to the obsessive degree that myself and others more effective at getting the word out. Even people who don't pay daily attention to the news world have said to me that, yeah, everything really seems to be speeding up. Things are happening so quickly. And essentially, the story of what's happening in this country right now is the story, in a way, of human history. Greedy bastards take control of things. So when you want to dismiss, oh, that's conspiracy theory, wouldn't you probably admit that throughout history, insane, power-mad people and families and corporations have plotted to have control? I think you'd have to admit that. And do I think that the Illuminati and the bloodlines pull every string and push every button and every little thing that happens and that pops up on the news wire was because the Illuminati wanted it to? I don't believe that. I've quoted him time and time again, and we will reference some exciting and fantastic new work from him, but I've quoted Richard Andrew Grove of tragedyandhope.com that I tend to think of them as multi-generational serial killers or gangsters. Sometimes the Gambinos got to knock off a Gotti. And there's gang wars and turf wars, and sometimes you got to bump off a made man. But the gangsters and banksters and multi-generational serial killer families, they've seized control. Sort of rambling off the top of my head again, just trying to get eased back into the seat here in the studio. And the sun was shining here in Portland, Oregon. It's disappeared behind the clouds again. Let's glance at Google News right now on this New Year's morning and see what's happening. Mayor Bloomberg just sworn in for his third term, running the dark metropolis in the Empire State. Bloomberg, mayor, media mogul, sworn in for the third term. Freed hostage Peter Moore returns to Britain. This after a 2.5-year ordeal in Iraq. Suicide bomber kills 70 at Pakistan sports event. And just as we, I don't want to say predicted, because again, I'm trying to figure a lot of this out myself, trying to figure out the shell game that gets played and where the suckers who keep getting played, again, by the thug on the corner doing the phony shell game. But we keep falling for it. Last year, we witnessed one of the slickest Madison Avenue advertising PR stunts that has ever been pulled off to bring in a man who we had always said on this show, because we looked at the paperwork. It's been quite a long time. It was back into 2008 that on MediaMonarchy.com we were saying, look at who's giving him all the money. Look who the funders are. It was Goldman Sachs. And it's the same bunch of banksters and gangsters that seize the engine of power of countries and nations and corporations. They use it to consolidate power. When they've used it up, or it doesn't work anymore because it becomes so ham-fisted and obvious, they essentially pull a controlled demolition, burn the place down, and collect the insurance, leaving the regular folks, you know, that comprise the 98% of the world. Somehow we keep getting screwed by this 2%. But again, through all my digression, is basically we now have an opportunity, I believe. And again, we know what beliefs are. I don't know this for sure, but I believe there is still a window that hasn't quite slammed shut. That if the people can look behind the curtain at the great and wonderful Oz, at those folks, and see those folks pulling strings and pushing buttons again, not engineering every minute detail, we have a rare chance, in a way, and again, I believe, that the people have the power to take things back for themselves. And trying to look at positive things over the last, now, year and a half of the controlled demolition of not only the economy of the United States, but of the world in general. And again, that's what they do. They seize power, they seize the means and the resources, they buy those up, throw you some crumbs, and that's unfortunately what's been going on. But some of the positives that we can maybe find through the econo crash, the controlled demolition of the economy, as noted economists like Max Kaiser have said, that it's going to make people pay more attention to their closer community. People they should be talking to and working with and bartering with and working and trading and farming and food and playing and entertaining. Hopefully all those things will return to a smaller level. And as long as we have a free and open internet, we can all still influence, and I can still watch the movies and hear the music and listen to the information from folks around the world. Put quite simply, I think all I'm saying is don't hate the media, become the media. And with that, let's get to the alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Top of the page on MediaMonarchy.com, posted last night, December 31st, 2009. It was a New Year's Eve news purge, which is essentially a data dump of headlines. Again, laying out the map, you do the research yourself, and hell, report back to me. Again, we'll share and all help each other come to some kind of greater understandings. So let's run down this news purge list, out like a lion. Some of the latest BioWars and EnviroHealth headlines by way of the Times Online, where they have top scientists sharing their future predictions. However, quite more frightening, by way of the New York Times, mailmen to deliver aid in case of anthrax attack. Let's look at this. This seems kind of important. By way of the Associated Press, if the nation ever faces a large-scale attack by a biological weapon like anthrax, the United States Postal Service will be in charge of delivering whatever drugs and other medical aid Americans would need to survive. In an executive order released Wednesday, President Barack Obama put the Postal Service in charge of dispensing, quote-unquote, medical countermeasures to biological weapons because of its, quote, capacity for rapid residential delivery. While most likely unrelated, the release of the executive order comes less than a week after a man with alleged ties to Al-Qaeda, tried to bring down a Detroit-bound U.S. airliner. In recent days, Obama has sought to assure the public that his administration is doing what it can to protect the nation from terrorist attacks. Our man of change, the Prince of Peace Prize, so many of us still under hopenosis, and the same things they railed against that previous puppet, George Bush, they fail to see now in Barack Obama because their party's in favor. My team is winning. And the cutting insights and probing investigative muckraking journalism, online and otherwise, that was done in the terrible, catastrophic presidency of George W. Bush, now can't see it, or at least aren't willing to discuss seeing the same shell game being played by the new puppet. You must know that the official story of 9/11 can't possibly be true. Do I formulate a conspiracy theory about what I think happened? No. I look at the official sources, put them all together, and say, you can't all be right. Your stories are all different. The war of terror is based on the lies of 9/11. And yet, you wanted to believe the blank slate who was more than happy to accept your projections onto him of what you wanted change to be, following the same script, still talking about Al-Qaeda, still ratcheting up the paranoia, Christmas time terror flight. So, you know, in 2002, we had Richard Reid, the shoe bomber. That's why we all have to take our shoes off at the airport. And then in 06, we had the liquid bombers. Now we all have to dump out our liquids. Grandma can't take on a little bit of water or Diet Coke or whatever. And now they're ratcheting it up another level. Richard Reid, shoe bomber, nothing was ever really going to happen with that. And in the wake of the events of 9/11 and the official stories and myths about 9/11, passengers pretty much jumped him. In the case of the liquid bombers, I believe it was said by the feds that, well, it was probably more aspirational than operational. Scientists and chemists all said, well, there was no way in hell you were going to be able to concoct something in a bathroom in the airport, or in the airplane, rather. I think those guys, I don't know off the top of my head, look it up yourself. Most of the charges have been dropped, and I think some of the people have been let go. It was a phony, trumped-up paranoia meant to shake you up. As soon as you start to look behind the screen, they'll pop another terror event. Let one happen. Stop the rest. And they snap you back into attention following the latest Pied Piper puppet off the cliff. Did George Bush do 9/11? Hell no. Did Obama do the econo crash? Hell no. They're front men. They're PR spokesmen. They're meant to come out and sell people who, unfortunately, have an economy that isn't worth anything because we don't make anything here and we've deindustrialized. And we're still somehow more than happy to go to that big box store that not only ruined the economy in your town, but is helping to ruin the economies of the world. And you'll still go there and buy slave-made garbage. You're buying your own destruction at an inflated rate. Meanwhile, the people who make it get a pittance, and we get a little more, and we think we're so white and wealthy and smart, and we know how things should go. Let's keep moving. By way of TakePart.com, they're reporting it, I think it's a positive thing, but I add the term the green police. Is your neighbor wasting energy? There's an app for that. Snitch on your neighbor. Are they not recycling correctly? Is their carbon footprint too big? Well, you should rat them out. As we've said time and time again, an organization known as the Club of Rome, which has nothing to do with Catholicism, it's just another misdirection. The Club of Rome put together a document they knew you would never read called The First Global Revolution that essentially says, and look it up, you can read the whole thing, you can even buy a hard copy. In looking for ways to unite mankind, we thought of making mankind the enemy. And that environmentalism and global warming and fears and paranoia about the greening would fit the bill. Is there real environmental damage going on in this world every day? You better believe it. Is it your fault because you're driving a car that, again, you've only, it's learned behavior. A destroyed economy, you gotta work more, you don't have time to come home and look up stuff online and be informed, you wanna come home, turn in, tune on, sack out, and shut up. Watch some TV. Eat some prepackaged food, which again has, you know, they're greening their labels because they know you're kind of catching on. So Lay's potato chips and some of the sodas, you know, they'll change their labels a little bit. The agenda is the greening. So as the economy collapses, the only jobs left will be pimps and whores for the state. You'll be a snitch. You'll be a green shirt. Are there real environmental problems? Yes. Will paying carbon indulgences to cap and trade carbon funds set up by Al Gore and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, is that really going to take care of the problem? No. It's problem-reaction-solution. They caused the problems to generate the reaction so they can offer the solution they wanted to in the first place, but they didn't have the political and social capital for people to go along with it. The green agenda is really going to, unfortunately, be the overriding agenda of this new decade. If you want to help the environment, we should probably end the War of Terror, the biggest resource-sucking, fossil fuel-wasting, polluting, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally around the world, the War of Terror. If you're serious about helping the environment, stop the war. All of them. All wars based on deception, anyway. "9/11 Truth" is fundamentally an anti-war position. The Green Agenda, unfortunately, is what's coming. A few more headlines on the BioWars and EnviroHealth front. Comic book superheroes help the Centers for Disease Control pitch vaccine to kids, propagandizing your children to take vaccines that have been proven to contain toxic substances like mercury and thimerosal, and even live viruses that give you the very thing they're supposed to protect you from. Sometimes just some lab rats die when a pharmaceutical firm like Baxter sends out some accidentally tainted vaccines. Somehow it got out of the lab. So whether that's foot and mouth, important down, or Lyme disease from Plum Island, or the anthrax from Fort Detrick, it can only come from these places. They're the ones making it. You see how that works? They create it, they release it, and then offer you the vaccine, the antidote that they've also created, which is another soft kill weapon. If we're not killing the undesirables, and again, selling you on the idea that it's the world's overpopulated and we can't handle all of these things, if you end the war machine and give the resources back to countries that you bought up so they'll be in debt in perpetuity to the World Bank and the IMF, they swoop in, they buy up the resources, they privatize the profit, they socialize the debt, and they burn the place down for the insurance. So if you're not getting blown away by shock and awe, most of us are still under the slow kill agenda. So whether that's the food or the medicines, again, the fake medicines made in a lab. Meanwhile, the real natural plants and herbs, hemp being the number one in the war machine, grow hemp. That's a pretty simple agenda. The last note we'll make on the BioWars EnviroHealth front should tell you something. Again, speaking of the poisonous vaccines, from the French agency press, the World Health Organization chief not yet vaccinated against the swine flu. So the very folks who grandstand and fearmonger and ratchet up the DEFCON levels, do they take it themselves? Do they give it to their kids? Hell no. A few EconoCrash headlines. A tidal wave of retirees could break the bank. That's from news.com.au out of Australia. Al Gore's website, Current TV, covers the United Nations' new world currency coins. But again, you're told, people who talk about one world currency and detention centers and Black Hawk helicopters and the Federal Reserve, those people are crazy. However, Al Gore, the aforementioned son of a senator's son, fortunate son, it ain't me, he and the firms he helped create, and of course he helped ram through NAFTA and GATT in the Clinton era, back in that last progressive Democrat 90s run, that helped deindustrialize this country. He helped create the internet. Or the joke being, he didn't create the internet, but he did make up global warming. His website, Current TV, covering the United Nations World Currency Coins. But if you talked about it, you're a nut job. One of the aforementioned left gatekeepers who did such great probing work in the fraudulent regime of George W. Bush, who now have the blinders on to the Prince of Peace, Rachel Maddow did fortunately have a guest on her show several days ago, essentially talking about how the grand old party, and we're nonpartisan here on MediaMonarchy.com, both sides are pretty much corrupt and controlled. They prop each other up. They keep you in the two-party system. So whoever has a D after their name, that's who you're going to line up and vote that party line. You got to stick with your team. But basically, you got to know that when a real grassroots movement starts to come along, or a third party or something alternative, it gets co-opted. You really think Glenn Beck is any kind of, you know, patriot, old school conservative type? He's a goof who does hit the hot button issues that he's co-opted from the alternative media and misdirected it and redirected it and run it into the ground. It's called COINTELPRO, Counterintelligence Program, exposed many decades ago, essentially where the feds infiltrate groups and destroy them from inside. Sometimes it's just as simple as getting in a group and saying, hey, you'd be a better leader than Bob would. Or, hey, I think Joe is an agent. I think he's the Fed. Oh, hey, when are we going to start getting violent? Let's throw bricks through that window. Let's throw rocks at the cops at the protest. That's what informants and infiltrators and COINTELPRO agents do. They infiltrate things and they run them into the ground. GOP and lobbyists' attempt to hijack Tea Party movement is a video from the Rachel Maddow show posted up by way of Raw Story and Raw Replay. An interesting one from one of my favorite news sites, allgov.com, asking the question, are the poorest states also the most religious? Are they hanging on to their guns and their Bibles? The last EconoCrash note, how Goldman made tens of billions of dollars from the EconoCrash in four easy steps. That's thanks to the economiccollapseblog.com. A few notes on geopolitics, where even CBS News, they don't actually say it in the piece, but the headline and the name of the video that they even have up on YouTube was the Afghan bomb attack on the CIA an inside job. Where if we can look at some of the positives, post 9/11, with the explosion of the alternative media, making terms like inside job and false flag and many of the other terms, we've made them part of the regular nomenclature, the vernacular. Because now they know you know those words, so now they'll use them to bring you back into the fold. Don't go to those crazy bloggers. They don't fact check anything. Come back into the fold. Come back into the two-party system. Come back into the corporate mainstream media. When you try and break outside the box, they've got another box set up for you. Time and time again. So whether that box is Christianity or whether that box is environmentalism, it's controlled oppositions. Iran nuke document was forged, just like the Iraqi yellow cake document. We'll, of course, probably make references to the fact that we're now looking at targets inside Yemen. The Obamasiah, the Prince of Peace Prize, looking at more war. So is it going to be in Yemen? Is it going to be in Pakistan? Is it going to be in Iran? More Afghanistan surge, still in Iraq. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton recently said that we'll probably be in Afghanistan for another, 50, 60 years. And it goes on and on and on. Are you more afraid of Ahmadinejad or the Detroit plane bomber? Are you more worried about what may happen to your community when things really may start to get ugly? That ain't going to be Ahmadinejad's fault. He's the boogeyman. He's a boogeyman of the rogues gallery of boogeymen. So whether that's Osama bin Laden or Ahmadinejad or the plane bomber, or a little homegrown terrorism. Maybe it's those crazy racist militia guys. Maybe it'll be God knows what. But it's the boogeyman. It's the show. Think of it as wrestling. So much of it is all put up on the stage. It's the cave. You're looking at the shadows on the wall and you think it's real. And when sometimes folks say, hey man, I think this is fake, we kill those guys. Top Norwegian diplomat admits attending the Bilderberg Group. Again, years ago, if you talked about the Bilderberg Group or secret organizations with secret rosters, with secret agendas, meeting in secret, you're a nut. But again, the alternative media has helped force things like the Club of Rome and the First Global Revolution, or the Bilderberg Group and eugenics, inside jobs and false flags. We force this into the public mind. And hopefully, people are going to do the investigations for themselves. We've got linked up on YouTube, I believe it's in 12 parts, so it's a full-length documentary called Superpower that I have not watched yet. A couple notes on James Cameron and Avatar under the media and the memes. An Avatar Awakening is an interesting article on afterdowningstreet.org written by David Swanson, making comparisons to Shock and Awe and the War and Dances with Wolves, and Marxism, and media memes. Michelle Obama is now sliding in the polls as well. That's from the Los Angeles Times. Obama supposedly ends Bush secrecy policy, launches a new declassification center. That's from Raw Story, but if you'll note, on a recent episode of The New World Next Week, my video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, there's a lot that is being kept from us. And I'll have to look this up, but Obama was basically on track to do what the two previous puppets had done, and that's sign executive orders to make sure that masses of new information doesn't see the light of day on any January 1st of the last 15 years. But no, Obama's ending the Bush secrecy policy by launching a declassification center. Oh, we need a whole center now. We need a new organization and structure. Oh, maybe it needs a czar. We need a whole new bureaucratic structure when we could just let things go public when they're supposed to. No, we need a center, a declassification center, so they can control what comes out. We've also got the trailer of a documentary called Fraud that looks kind of interesting. Turned me off a little bit, as it's essentially a lot of people saying Obama's a fraud and he's a liar and he's a this, but it's a lot of folks at protests and probably in the Fed rallies and others throughout the country. So, like I said, new documentary called Superpower, new documentary called Fraud. The last couple notes on this news purge are of the war whores variety. And again, another great one from allgov.com. Arab dictatorships take four of the top five spots in the purchase of U.S. weapons and services. If we were really serious about the war of terror and making sure weapons of mass destruction don't fall into the hands of the evildoers, we sell them. That's the Bill Hicks joke. Even talking about Poppy Bush, Bush 1, Bush Sr., Bush the Elder. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. Well, how do you know? We looked at the receipts. And the same goes for North Korea, as well as the Arab dictatorships that this article from allgov.com is talking about. The other one, an interesting one, from Salem News, asking the musical question, are America's mercenary armies really drug cartels? And unfortunately, the evidence stacks up in the affirmative of that question. The militaries are the enforcement arms of the multi-generational serial killers. And they all do it for their own God. So whatever God they think you believe in, Jesus or Buddha or Krishna or Muhammad or Xenu or God knows what, the God of the multi-generational serial killers is gold, oil, and drugs. The militaries, they help run drugs. It's a fact. It's unfortunate, but it's a fact. So, what was the previous article? Arab dictatorships take four of five top spots in the purchase of U.S. weapons. Are America's mercenary armies really drug cartels? They fund both sides. They run the drugs. They run the churches. They run the banks. They run the resources. Danger Room's top 10 stories from a world gone nuts. Of course, the Danger Room blog on Wired.com. The last note on this news purge. Judge drops charges against Blackwater guards accused of a massacre. In a rebuke to government prosecutors, a federal judge dismissed criminal charges against five Blackwater security guards accused of fatally shooting 14 people in Baghdad in September 2007. Judge Ricardo Urbina said on Thursday, December 31st, 2009, prosecutors violated the defendants' rights by using incriminating statements they had made under immunity during a State Department probe to build their case. The government used the defendants' compelled statements to guide its charging decisions, to formulate its theory of the case, to develop investigatory leads, and ultimately to obtain the indictment in the case. In short, the government had utterly failed to prove that it made no impermissible use of the defendant's statements or such that yada yada yada. Semantics. It was a loophole. We got off on a loophole. They had immunity. So anything they said couldn't be used against them in a kangaroo court of law. I think it's always interesting to note, and I think it's been in videos made by ex-cops, vice cops, who got out of the junkie biz and have made videos. Barry Cooper, I believe, is the guy's name, and we've gone over him before in his work, Cop Busters, about how to never get arrested again, but one thing he pointed out, and it really stuck with me, is what does it say in the Miranda rights? You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. It will not be used for you. Unless, of course, you're a hired mercenary thug. The private enforcement arm of the multi-generational serial killers. We do have the latest episode of The New World next week. It's the end of the decade, but unfortunately that won't put a stop to the propaganda being spread by the powers that be and their corporate media cronies. So on this New Year's Eve episode of The New World next week, brought to you by CorbettReport.com and MediaMonarchy.com, we go over three stories. One, National Irish Bank moves to cashless banking, which I believe we'll get more into. Obama gives diplomatic immunity to Interpol by executive order. And of course, the government allowed plane bomber to attempt attack. The New World next week, I believe we've done a dozen episodes now. I believe we've been doing it since October. The weekly 10-minute YouTube series by myself and James Corbett, where in a bite-sized, hopefully conversational, informative, easy-to-understand format, give it to you in a bite-sized way, and it's a nice thing to hand out to folks who, again, I implore you, if you're a fan of Media Monarchy, please spread the site and the podcast. But you know, there are folks who probably aren't going to listen to a two-hour podcast of me running my mouth, with the documentation to back it up, of course. But a 10-minute YouTube video with three stories, explained simply, can be, I think, a great way to turn people on to what's going on. So, what I'm saying is, The New World next week is, I think, a great tool in the info war. So please help us use it. So let's talk more about, for a moment, National Irish moving to cashless banking. This from IrishTimes.com. It might sound like a contradiction in terms, but for the first time, one of the main Irish consumer banks is moving to cashless banking in all its branches. National Irish Bank has written to thousands of its customers last month informing them of a new style of banking in which branches will not handle over-the-counter cash transactions. Customers are advised to obtain cash from ATMs nationwide. If you jump down a little bit in the article, interestingly enough, it says the Irish Banking Federation said it was not aware of any other main banks introducing cashless banking at this stage, though a spokesman added that, quote, they would all love to. They would all love to go cashless. We also have linked up an interesting video from 2007. Brian Williams and NBC talking about what will the world be like in 2017. And they say, well, it might be a cashless society with an implanted microchip. And it'll be sold to you as being so helpful. Because it's, of course, in all our animals already. It's going into those sick and dirty people who have icky diseases. So we can keep track of them. We're putting chips in our seniors with Alzheimer's so we can track them like a lost puppy. And they'll start to sell it to us. Some folks have already done it. Some folks have done it because it's the cool thing to do. I got the RFID chip implanted and I can get into the club that much faster. It's going to be cool. Cashless banking. If you take a moment to kind of ponder the effects of that and basically think of, if you have this chip, it's really convenient, and you can do all your shopping and all your online stuff. If you get sick or injured, it's got all your medical info. If lost, please return to da-da-da-da-da. All that stuff is great. But what if it malfunctions? Or what if you run afoul of the state and we just turn your chip off? And there goes all your credits. Or, oh hell, maybe your carbon footprint was too big. And they'll just deduct that from your account, from your credits. We're going to get into the things that surround the latest Christmas time terror and all the oddities contained therein, as there usually are, of course, that throughout the last year we pointed out with the Fort Hood attack or the murder of ex-CIA agent William Bennett nearly a year ago in Loudoun County, Virginia. So we're going to get into the Christmas time terror and Umar Farouk Abdul-Muttalib. However, I now see that we're into hour number two of episode 151 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's the dawn of a new decade. It's 11 a.m. Pacific time on January 1st, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com. Coming to you, as always, live from the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org. And, of course, our list of wonderful affiliates who help get the Media Monarchy message out there. So much more that we're going to try and go over, and, of course, my free association, stream of thought, catching up that we're doing here in the studio after being away for 6 weeks. Let's take a quick moment and listen to some music from The Verve, from their 95 record Northern Soul. This one is appropriately enough called A New Decade. The Verve, a new decade, and yes, it is. Welcome back to hour number two of episode 151 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Let's run down my data dump on the Christmas time terror and suspicious characters that, again, you thought there was going to be change. It still seems like the same things are happening. Trumped up terror meant to keep you in line and afraid and following whatever agenda the current puppet is selling you on for the real controllers. Another fantastic oddities list from legitgov.org, the Northwest Bomb Plot Oddities. Some of the other great oddities pages Lori Price has put together for Citizens for Legitimate Government, legitgov.org. Like the Fort Hood oddities list, or the Virginia Tech oddities list. Terror events. Wealthy, quiet, unassuming. The Christmas Day bomb suspect. That's from independent.co.uk. However, the exclusive report, because remember this flight was coming from Amsterdam and it was going to land in Detroit. The exclusive report from mlive.com out of Michigan. Flight 253 passenger said, testifies, eyewitness that a sharp-dressed man aided the terror suspect, Abdul Muttalab, onto the plane without a passport. He was helped along. Hero tackled alleged Northwest plane bomber as flames came from him on flight to Detroit. That's a fairly incendiary headline from the Telegraph. However, the article that we sourced on that aforementioned most recent episode of The New World Next Week from Paul Joseph Watson, government allowed plane bomber to attempt attack. Let's take a quick look at that. Even though this goes back to Sunday, December 27th, and more information has come out. But according to Kurt Haskell, an attorney with the Haskell Law Firm in Taylor, Michigan, said, quote, he and his wife were sitting on the ground near the boarding gate in Amsterdam, which is when they saw Muttalab approach the gate with an unidentified man, which, of course, the FBI doesn't want to talk about. Muttalab was poorly dressed, young-looking individual, but he was accompanied by a man in an expensive suit, Haskell told MLive.com. He says the suited man asked ticket agents whether Muttalab could board without a passport. The guy said, he's from Sudan, and we do this all the time. Although Muttalab is Nigerian, Haskell said the well-dressed man portrayed him as a desperate Sudanese refugee in an attempt to elicit sympathy and as a way of bypassing his lack of documents. The ticket agent referred Muttalab and his companion to her manager down the hall, and Haskell didn't see Muttalab again until after he allegedly tried to detonate an explosive on the plane. Crucially, Haskell said that after the plane landed, he saw another man being taken into custody by the FBI along with Muttalab. However, the FBI later said that Muttalab was the only individual taken into custody. Were the feds retrieving their own agent? The sharp-dressed man who ensured that Muttalab boarded the plane despite his overwhelmingly suspicious circumstances. Muttalab was a known security threat who was on the terror watch list. He is barred from entering Britain after being refused a new visa due to applying for a fake university course. Separate reports said that he did hold a valid visa, which begs the question, how can someone be on the terror watch list and be allowed to fly? That's the question of this latest terror attempt that they're going to use to add another brick in the wall of tyranny. The Lap Bomber Mystery from Antiwar.com. Justin Raimondo does a great bit. Webster Tarpley appeared on Russia Today. I was going to play that clip, but I think reading that passage from government allowed plane bomber to attempt attack, which is a little bit of assertion. Detroit jet terrorist attack was staged. Some related notes swirling around this story. Alternet.org asking the question, can we rescue the Republic before the dark politics take over? The new terrifying no electronics U.S. flight security rules leaked. Now the feds have been harassing bloggers who posted up the leak as if they stole it and spread it out. They sent it all around the world. But they're going to harass bloggers who are calling attention to the fraudulent agendas of the state and their bureaucracy arms. Christmas terror attempt may open door for military action in U.S. cities. That's, of course, from InfoWars. We've got a video of Obama discussing air security review. I love this headline from the Associated Press. Let's see if they kept it or if they changed it. Oh, of course they did. That's why, friends, always key when you're doing news hounding, save the articles. Just save them as PDFs. They're tiny. And you've got it saved so that when they change the headline, I still have the original article with this. Obama vows to use power to thwart terrorists. That's the headline. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. Up is down. Left is right. Bus passengers could carry electronic tags. That's from the Telegraph. Terror and Tyranny, the TNT Approach for 2010. That's by way of rulersofusall.wordpress.com, but basically noting some of the dire predictions and analysis for the new year and the new decade coming from Gerald Celente at the Trends Research Institute. He is unfortunately piled up a pretty accurate track record. And we have, of course, highlighted the work and the videos and the clips and things of Gerald Celente, so we won't do that again right here. Further down the list of Christmastime terror and suspicious characters, incident on another Amsterdam to Detroit flight, corporate media claims underwear bomber connected to Al-Qaeda, leaked the Homeland Security's post-underwear bomb plane rules, again, by way of Gizmodo.com, and again, it's not exactly a leak. Man videotaped underwear bomber on Flight 253, Robert Gibbs, the current puppet press secretary, essentially in a video says, don't disagree with Obama on the response to this Northwest terror. That would be Northwest Airlines, not the Pacific Northwest, where I speak to you now. Underwear bomber renews calls for naked scanners. That's from Danger Room, and we've got a worse headline coming up in just a minute. There's an interesting video. It's a 9-minute clip of Ron Paul on CNN along with Ben Stein. That Ben Stein basically tries to call Ron Paul a crazy conspiracy theorist, anti-Semite, everything in the book. Ron Paul essentially, to Ben Stein, says, you're an embarrassment. Some of the other Christmastime terror updates, of course, they even say it, the U.S. intel had info ahead of airliner attack. Just like in most of the false flag terror events, we had no idea this was going to happen, except in the minutes afterwards we know who all the people are and we've got all their things and you find out we've been tracking them for a long time. So whether that's 9/11 or Fort Hood or now the underwear bomber, it's always the same. Oh, we did have some info. We just weren't able to connect the dots. Maybe if you give us more power and more control, next time we'll really keep you safe from the terror. Just give us more of your liberties. Clueless liberals and neocons slug it out over this latest fake Al-Qaeda event. Another false flag terror attack as justification for war and trampling on our freedoms. Ron Paul going into, again, the agenda behind the bombing incident. More war, more attacks on liberty. Corporate media stepping up. Al-Qaeda in Yemen propaganda. So let's jump to the Times Online and clips from YouTube and the BBC. Hundreds of Al-Qaeda militants planning attacks from Yemen. Ooh, or maybe they're under your bed. The terrorists are everywhere. Except that the War of Terror apparatus was always meant for us. They sell you on it by doing it to people you don't know, so you don't feel any connection to. Because somebody said somebody did something somewhere to you. They sell you on the idea by doing it to those other people. All the while, wheeling it around and aiming it squarely at other regular people. So that unfortunately, the rogue state that America has become, the garbage that the oligarchs do around the world, unfortunately, there'll probably be folks in other countries that when it's wheeled around and firmly aimed at us, maybe folks in other countries will be sold on the idea that those American people, those are the someone somewhere that did something to somebody. America's been such a bastard, maybe a lot of people won't shed tears when they start to burn the place down and collect the insurance. I hope not. Western counterterrorism help, not enough for Yemen. That's from the BBC. However, here at the police state home front and in the Empire State, from WICZ out of New York, National Guard deployed for New York airport security. Using the military for domestic law enforcement. Used to be against the law. Not anymore. Calls for full body screening devices grow after terror attempt. That's from Bloomberg. However, evidence clearly indicates staged attack on Detroit flight. Officials admit second man detained as more witnesses emerge. FBI silent on plane bomber's accomplice. U.S. intel lapses helped Abdul Muttalab, says CBS News. The fantastic writer Chris Hedges has a great piece on truthdig.com where he notes that, what I was just saying, one day we'll all be terrorists. Many airport security improvements would require more intrusion and oversight, says the Washington Post. Failed attack on jet renews concerns over lack of TSA chief. We need more power, more control, less liberties for you. Then we'll keep you safe. As we noted, the Prince of Peace Prize gearing up for retaliatory strikes in Yemen. Is that the change you voted for? From The Guardian, U.S. plots retaliatory strikes against al-Qaeda in Yemen. And again, we've kept on the same guys who were running George Bush's War of Terror. Gates. You know, one of the guys who was there in Afghanistan in the late 70s when we were funding the Mujahideen to fight off the Russians. The guys who essentially turned into al-Qaeda, which means the base. Probably meaning the database of Mujahideen fighters that we had funded to fight the Soviets. Even if you believe the sort of official story that, oh no, they just went rogue when the U.S. was done fighting the Russians and using the Mujahideen as the proxy. Well, then they got mad and now they're mad at America, so they're taking it out on us. Even if you believe that official story, you still have to admit that we helped make al-Qaeda. I'm not asking you to make big, huge leaps here. Again, we can sort out the pieces, but as long as we can get most of the folks out there to realize some of the basic facts of what we're being misled about, we'll be doing a little better off. Number of full-body scanners at U.S. airports to triple in 2010. Let's jump to the Christian Science Monitor for more on this. Full-body scanners could have foiled the Christmas Day airline bomb plot, some experts say. In 2010, U.S. airports will add at least 150 to the already 40 in use, the TSA says, but critics say the machines won't help. They cost $150,000 a piece. You can bet that's going to come out of your pocket. And again, it basically shows you and your friends and family and people you love and care about and strangers completely naked, and it's another way to dehumanize you. As you moo your way onto the cattle cart and take off your shoes and dump your liquids, strip naked for us. Flying can be such an unpleasant pain in the ass. You almost wonder if, in a way, it could almost be on purpose. Let's make this so annoyingly uncomfortable and expensive and prohibitive that you won't want to travel. Stay in your homes. Shut up. And then it got all crazy, of course, the copycat effect. NYPD closes down Times Square in response to a suspicious van. False report led to DC Capitol lockdown. And from right here, teddy bear at Oregon office prompts bomb scare. The quick report from the Associated Press by way of the New York Times. This is from December 29th. Again, in the wake of the Terranoia. A teddy bear placed at the front door of the Oregon State Police Office in Albany, Oregon, proved to be as harmless as a teddy bear. Employees arriving for work Monday thought it might be a bomb. They evacuated the building, cleared the front parking lot of cars, and called in the agency's bomb unit. An X-ray image showed that there was nothing dangerous inside the bear. No decision had been made about what to do with the animal, which by the afternoon was sitting on a counter in the business office. Be afraid. Econo crash updates. Worst decade ever. From the Wall Street Journal, last decade was the worst ever in the stock market. In nearly 200 years of recorded stock market history, no calendar decade has seen such a dismal performance as the 2000s. Small business bankruptcies rise 81% in California. That huge, massive economy being run by a womanizing son of a Nazi, married into Camelot. He's helping the controlled demolition, burning it down, collecting the insurance in California, which I think it's, if it were a company, it would be pretty much the fifth biggest in the world. A frightening story, and one that may become all too common. And we've got the video and reports from ABC News and the Christian Science Monitor and Examiner.com. Aero Trucking Company collapses, shuts off the fuel cards, and leaves truckers stranded around the United States. There is a two-minute video from NBC that's embedded. Will this become more common? Unfortunately, probably yes. As I'm scrolling down the page, the next thing that comes up is the recent Media Monarchy mixtape, End of the Decade, my holiday gift to you guys, posted up on December 25th, was a tour de force 4+ hour mixtape episode featuring some of my favorite music from the last 10 years. That was the one new MediaMonarchy.com broadcast that I did for you in my hiatus. Hopefully, if you guys were missing me, this was a perfect way to not only get back in touch, but also check out some of the amazing music over the last 10 years. I think it's pretty cool. I'd like for you to check it out. It's got Primal Scream, Radiohead, Death Cab, Fugazi, Mercury Rev, Saul Williams, Spiritualize, Super Furry Animals, Bright Eyes, Hot Odd Heat, Cursive, White Stripes, Arcade Fire, Kings of Leon, Lansing Drayden, Nellie McKay, TV on the Radio, Block Party, Slater Kinney, Girl Talk, Gorillaz, Jenny Lewis, Nico Case, Sloan, Yola Tango, Sigur Rós. Perhaps the mixtape will become an irregular feature from MediaMonarchy.com. If you like it, let me know. I also posted up on December 25th, where we celebrate the birthday of Santa Claus. The 1225 News Purge has a lot of 9/11 updates, one of which being Arlen Specter looking to revive 9/11 lawsuits against the Saudis. Yes, single bullet Specter wants to get to the truth of 9/11. Yeah. On down the list, and I'm not going to read everything, because as we're now about down to the last half hour, I know there are definitely some things that I do want to bring attention to, instead of just continuing to read headlines. However, Russia blames U.S. forces in Afghanistan for heroin rise. That kind of sounds familiar. Weren't we asking the question a little bit ago? Are America's militaries and mercenaries really just drug cartels? Banks with political ties got bailouts, study shows. Surprise, surprise. And politicians with the best connections to the banksters, they get elected to positions of power. Berlusconi got hit in the face with a statue and he was kind of a bloody mess, but then other folks have wondered whether it was a staged event. False flag. Former French President Chirac indicted for embezzlement. Mumbai terror suspect David Headley was a rogue U.S. secret agent. That's from the Times Online, and that's what they're saying in India. Do you remember the big November 26th terror event in 2008 in Mumbai? The only guy left is a guy named David Headley that most of the authorities have said, yeah, he was a rogue U.S. secret agent. So even within that, they'll try and sell you on the idea that, oh, he just went rogue. He wasn't still working for who he thought he was working for. Redacted news goes into Oregon Gate. And we do have a few other articles, but that essentially, after lying about it for decades, Israel now comes out and admits organ harvesting. Just like the most favored nation, China, does as well. It's been exposed time and time again. Sometimes it even happens here in the States, if you recall the bizarre bust in New York and New Jersey that involved preachers and rabbis and politicians all involved in kickbacks and even a little bit of organ trading. On a completely different note, a new or newly uncovered home movie clip apparently pretty much shows Marilyn Monroe chilling out with some friends and smoking a joint. That video is embedded. It's, of course, silence. It's about a minute long, and it's kind of interesting. Somewhat related, I suppose. Sin City star, and also, of course, 8 Mile and Spun and others. Actress Brittany Murphy, dead at the age of 32. Another great article from allgov.com, Movie Making in America, It's a Man's World. I was talking with a friend last night that I think over the course of the Oscars, in the history, there have only been 3 women ever nominated for Best Director. One was in the 70s and I didn't recognize the name. Another is Jane Campion for The Piano in the late 80s. And then the third and final up to this point was Sofia Coppola for Lost in Translation. I would like to think that Catherine Bigelow would at least get nominated for her film, The Hurt Locker. But we'll see. The real reason newspapers are losing money and why bailing out failing newspapers would create a moral hazard in the media. That's from Washington's blog. Another great piece from allgov.com into the movie ratings, where Of course, we note smoking marijuana equals an R, but murder gets you a PG-13. So if you're your Terminator Salvation, you can get a PG-13 rating. But if you are an adult comedy featuring Steve Martin and Meryl Streep, and the characters smoke marijuana without showing the disastrous, disastrous negative effects of smoking marijuana, that gets you an R rating. So again, death and destruction and murder and mayhem are fine and will get you a PG-13, but if you smoke something that's been here on the planet and used as medicine for millennia, that's bad. We had a hostage situation at a rural Virginia post office. Again, just watching the media memes and the clustering and the copycat effects and wondering and postulating and even theorizing that in a way there has been some sort of mass murder contagion. Interestingly enough, you remember that imam who was connected to the Fort Hood shooter, the guy who supposedly told him to do it and was helping radicalize him? Yeah, he's been killed. The second story that we went over on the New Year's Eve episode of New World Next Week, Obama gives diplomatic immunity to Interpol by executive order. President Obama has issued an amendment to Executive Order 12425 designating the International Law Enforcement Agency, Interpol, as a public international organization, thus extending diplomatic immunity to the law enforcement group. There are links to everything, and you can read all the statutes and all the legalese. But basically, it's more change for you. Obama has granted Interpol immunity as foreign assets assigned to the U.S. homeland. Another brick in the wall of tyranny. A great bit of base irony, but it's a hoot. Obama calls Wall Street CEOs fat cat bankers. Insert something calling somebody something they are joke here. A good piece from historian and film buff Lisa Pease on ConsortiumNews.com asking if Obama can face the unspeakable. Basically, trying to get Obama to take a look at James Douglas's fantastic book, JFK and the Unspeakable. If you go back through the podcast archives, you will find a complete recording of James Douglas when he was in Portland, Oregon. That's one of my most downloaded bits. So that's an exclusive from MediaMonarchy.com, James Douglas talking about JFK and the Unspeakable. I don't remember if we've gone over the Salahis, the White House party crashers, and all of that garbage, but there was even another event after that big fracas. The accidental Salahis enjoy White House breakfast. People, you know, they wandered away from the group and somehow made it into a White House breakfast. Yes, it's silly and it's funny and it's get a lot of tabloid mileage, whether it's about that or Tiger or whatever bullshit that doesn't really affect your life. It follows the memes of the Obama presidency being very hacked and hackable. Remember the passport breach? Remember the website hacks, all the Twitter hacks, all those things they show you time and time again, planting the seeds in your head. Of fear. Obama called into a local talk show, said he was Barry from D.C. I think he was doing that to talk to outgoing, I think, governor of Virginia. There's a great new video by Winston Smith, of course, who did most of the fantastic album covers of Jello Biafra's spoken word albums. Winston Smith, Jello Biafra, actually, sidebar, was in Portland last night opening up for the Murder City Devils. But a few more notes on the Police State International. CFR president admits wars of agenda to serve, quote, global order. Ban Ki-moon, a Moonie and the chief of the United Nations, says we will impose global governance. Stephen Colbert jokingly asserts that corporations are ready to take over the Patriot Act. Accidents increase at Chicago red light camera intersections. We've gone over that time and time again. When you get folks like Lockheed Martin running your stoplight red light cameras, they've been busted time and time again, dialing down the yellow. So they make more money and more people die. So it's, you know, as far as the military industrial complex, that's a win-win situation. A nice update, however, and again, this may have been something we haven't gone over. Texas agrees to destroy controversial infant blood samples. And that was because the alternative media forced it into the spotlight where, hey, guess what? And it's not just Texas, it's all around the world. They're collecting your blood and DNA for databases. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds like made-up stuff from Gattaca. But it sounds more like it came from Brave New World, from Aldous Huxley, and his connections to multi-generational serial killers. A few war horrors notes. Contractors outnumber U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. U.S. forces have boots on the ground in Pakistan. That's from Raw Story. Here's the note from Hillary Clinton. We'll still be in Afghanistan in 50 or 60 years. War costs Americans more than all state governments combined. Some more BioWars and EnviroHealth news. 2010 Farmers Almanac predicts extreme cold weather. U.S. court orders records unsealed in cap-and-trade fraud case. That's from NASDAQ.com. Yes, cap-and-trade fraud. A fascinating bit, and again, as the controlled oppositions switch, and one party's in favor and one party's out of favor, sometimes you'll find that, just as we were saying earlier, the media that does that really probing, investigative, muckraking work against the party they don't like, when their party comes into favor, they can't see it anymore and they're blind to it. So it's been fascinating how quickly it shifted back to seemingly Fox News and their ilk covering stories that they would have never have covered during the puppet George Bush administration, but now the other puppet is in, so they'll expose a little more, because one side gets energized, the other side goes to sleep. Fox News covers the, you know, it's just an idea of mass drugging society with lithium in the water. That is one of the top health stories of 2009 from Fox 9 KMSP. I'm not necessarily saying, and I'm not at all saying, that Fox is reporting this as, oh my God, the American people in the world should know that insane people with insane agendas want to drug the water, in addition to the garbage that's already in there that we say that is allowed. They're not saying it's a bad thing. They're saying, hey, think tanks and people in white lab coats that are much smarter than you have great plans for you. Shifting gears, by way of Bloomberg, again, the media mogul who's just been sworn in for his third term, running the dark metropolis in the Empire State. From Bloomberg News, Obama signs $636.3 billion defense spending bill. Smell that change, baby. Oh, it actually kind of, I guess it kind of smells like what Robert Duvall talks about in Apocalypse Now. It kind of smells like napalm in the morning. We have more notes on the controlled demolition of the economy, debt, bank collapses, and janitors. CBS News notes that the new U.S. national debt now tops the debt limit, which, of course, our corrupt Congress critters just ran and rushed to change the law to say, oh, well, our debt can be higher now. 7 banks were seized. I think the next to last weekend of 2009. I'm not sure what the grand tally is. I'd have to Google that right now. But even as of this posting from back on December 19th, 140 banks failed in 2009 alone. The FDIC overseeing the dissolution of banks at the fastest pace in 17 years. Time magazine, started by the skull and bonesman Henry Luce. You know who they named their person of the year? Ben Bernanke, the front man for the international banksters and the fraudulent Federal Reserve, printing money out of thin air, giving you a facsimile piece of paper that doesn't have anything to back it up with. One of the main front men outselling you on this idea. Time magazine names Bernanke Person of the Year. UK study shows that hospital janitors are more valuable to society than bankers. And we thank them, but we almost didn't really need that from the New Economics Foundation. Last econocrash note here. IRS tells Citigroup to just go ahead and keep your $38 billion in tax breaks. It's all right. I wanted to make sure I had time for this, and I do, and here it is. The brand new first episode of a new podcast series from the creators of the 9/11 Synchronicity podcast, Ate the State Media and Research, the Broken Trust film and interview of Media Monarchy and Richard Andrew Grove of TragedyandHope.com. Richard Grove, Lisa Arbacheski of TragedyandHope.com, along with Paul Verge of DivergentFilms.com and Jan Irvin of GnosticMedia.com, have blasted out a great first episode of their new podcast called Peace Revolution. Episode 1, The Great Conversation. PeaceRevolution.org. Huge hat tip to those guys. It's a great listen in the way and in the style of work that I've always admired from Richard Grove and company. Again, behind the fantastic podcast series 9/11 Synchronicity. And of course, TragedyandHope.com and now PeaceRevolution.org. It's a fear-free environment that basically not only does it give you some fish, but the idea is that it's trying to teach you how to fish yourself and catch your own fish and then teach your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones how to catch fish or how to grow your own food. I'm speaking metaphorically, but those are actual realities within trying to cut a line straight through what really affects us and what is going to affect us in this new decade. So, needless to say, I can't put it any better than they do in this fantastic first episode. I implore you to check out peacerevolution.org. Having said that, we now hit another episode of The New World next week with myself and James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. You'll probably note some of the changes that I have made to the front pages of MediaMonarchy.com, CyberspaceWar.com, and FoodWorldOrder.com, the two sister sites, of course, as this has been somewhat a rambling reintroductory episode 151 from MediaMonarchy.com. The latest episodes of The New World next week, as well as the Media Monarchy podcast, will always be at the top right of each page. You'll always see the most recent episode of The New World next week. I've made the playlist. You can embed that playlist onto your site. It'll play the newest one and then play the next oldest and so on. We go over drug war updates, money, child care fronts, and more. That's, of course, yes, drug money saved banks from collapse. You know, that's just coming from the UN drugs and crime chief. Yeah, did you not know that actually black market money and drugs pretty much helps fund world economies. Drug dealers use child care as a front. That's from jsonline.com. But then we also cover, and this is what the update was that I referenced a few minutes ago, government taking newborn DNA samples. That's an exclusive report from an Austin, Texas news station, KXAN.com. Government taking newborn DNA samples. And unless you think, oh, that's just happening in crazy-ass Texas. Let's jump across the pond. UK police arresting innocents just to grab genetic details for Big Brother database. That is from dailymail.co.uk. An interesting note. A ghost of puppets past. 22 million missing Bush White House emails found. Quote unquote. And so we had Citizens for Ethics .org crew essentially suing the Obama administration to get that previous puppet administration's quote-unquote missing emails. The story about drug dealers using child care as a front is a frightening one, and that does come from, like I said, JS Online, and this is out of Wisconsin. It's the Journal Sentinel. It's the Milwaukee, Wisconsin Journal Sentinel. More than a dozen Wisconsin child care centers that reaped millions of dollars in state subsidies have had close ties to drug dealing operations, including big-time crime bosses. A Journal Sentinel investigation is found. You can download their entire report. I've got it linked up. It's actually an 18-meg PDF, so it is packed with info. Drug dealers using child care as a front. NBC continues to highlight DynCorp employee General Barry McCaffrey, another fantastic piece from allgov.com. Since NBC doesn't bother to point out the conflict of interest held by oft-used military analyst Barry McCaffrey, Huffington Post and AllGov and others have. Barry McCaffrey has appeared on the network's cable subsidiary, MSNBC, that would of course be Microsoft National Broadcasting Corporation, owned by General Electric, who helps create the weapons of war for the military-industrial complex. McCaffrey's appeared on MSNBC no less than 10 times in the last month to talk about the importance of staying in Afghanistan and training local yada yada. With each appearance, McCaffrey was identified only as a retired general and, you know, not someone who sits on the board of DynCorp International, a security company currently getting paid by the U.S. government to develop Afghanistan's police force, build barracks, and do the laundry of U.S. troops. According to Forbes, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan account for 53% of DynCorp's $3.1 billion in annual revenue. MSNBC also hasn't bothered to point out his relationship with Army General David Petraeus, the head of U.S. CENTCOM, for whom McCaffrey recently completed a report about the war. McCaffrey's been seen praising Petraeus on TV while criticizing Obama's proposed troop withdrawal deadline. Again, phony WWF garbage. Cheney coming out and saying, oh, Obama's not strong enough on the war of terror. Acting like they actually hold different positions. They all want wars of aggression to gobble up the resources. They just kind of differ on how quickly we should do it and how obvious or ham-fisted we may have to be. The important contextual notes to add to this story about Barry McCaffrey is a little more about DynCorp. You may remember this headline going back to June 2006 on MediaMonarchy.com. DynCorp Halliburton sex slave scandal won't go away. We have a government that says it doesn't advocate torture and yet tries to block a law that would end torture. We have a government that repeatedly burns lower-level minions to wash its hands of every major scandal that encompasses policies directly administered by that government itself, as in the case of Abu Ghraib and the DynCorp sex scandal. If you Google DynCorp sex scandal, you'll find other things like sex scandal still haunts DynCorp. I've noted time and time again the fantastic video of Cynthia McKinney grilling Rumsfeld and General Myers about, one, the drills, the war games being run on the morning of September 11th, 2001, the trillions missing from the Pentagon, and why we still do business with DynCorp and Halliburton even though they've been busted time and time again running kidnapping sex slave rings. They're a part of Team America. The brand America. The brand they've sold you on. The flag that you wave and the jingoism that you buy. Brand America. Even though, again, what we've noted time and time again throughout this conversation, multi-generational serial killers, gangsters and banksters throughout history seek to gain power so they can consolidate that power and hoard the resources and tell you, there's too many of you, you're too dirty, we're running out of resources, we don't have enough. They scare you with terror to take away more of your liberties. They scare Whitey that some brown-skinned person did something to them. And they reverse it depending on the ethnography of where their agenda is being marketed. But it's all proxy wars, playing both ends against the middle. It's also referred to as, let's you and him fight. And as long as it's black versus white, versus Christian versus gays, versus atheists versus Mexicans, and all these designations that keep us fighting with one another, as long as we keep fighting each other, we'll destroy ourselves. We look at the shadows cast on the wall and think it's real and tear anybody apart who says, hey, this is fake. You're watching shadows. You're watching WWF wrestling. We rip those people apart. I love the old anthology shows, the old black and white, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and The Outer Limits, and The Twilight Zone. And that episode, I forget if it's The Outer Limits or The Twilight Zone, but I believe it's called The Monsters Are Due on Mulberry Street. Where basically power goes out in a neighborhood, and then some people get power and some folks lose power, and it basically has a community tear each other apart over suspicion and envy. And over the course of a 25-minute episode, the town basically decides who they think is the problem, who they think is the bad guy. And it's chaos. And at the end of the episode, the camera dollies and pans and pulls all the way back to the hillside overlooking Mulberry Street. And it shows two aliens. And they just have a quick exchange where they basically say, wow, it's really that simple? Yeah. All you got to do is just turn off some of their toys, and they'll tear each other apart. The monsters are due on Mulberry Street is similar to that phrase of, we have met the enemy and he is us. The monsters on Mulberry Street are ourselves. Not that I'm buying into the Club of Rome and the First Global Revolution's idea that mankind is the enemy and the overpopulation. Unfortunately, we're so quick to tear each other apart that I worry that as things undoubtedly are going to get darker before they get lighter, we're going to be ripe for the picking. Unfortunately, we'll be more than ready to tear each other all apart, never looking up above at who may be pushing our buttons, pulling our strings. So I made a reference to population, and we just have a couple more minutes left, but maybe this will actually shed some light and be a nice way to wrap up this episode. Let's listen, if we can, to a quick moment of John Lennon on the Dick Cavett Show back in the mid-70s talking about overpopulation. Well, that sounds pretty rough. Yeah, let's skip that. That's not going to work. Sorry about that. Basically, I'll give it to you in the nutshell. John and Yoko are on the Dick Cavett Show, and they get a question in the audience about, what do you think about overpopulation and, you know, women's issues and human rights? And they're like, well, first, I don't really think overpopulation is a real thing. I think that's something the powers that be try to sell us on, that there's too many people. But basically, it's a distraction from the wars in Vietnam and around the world. But they want to sell you on the idea of inflated environmental damages, which essentially, if you wanted to feed the world, we are the world in the wars. So you change decades, you change some of the names in some of the countries, but the story's the same. They're distracting us with co-opted corporate messages. Meanwhile, their agenda rolls forward. We've got so much more on MediaMonarchy.com and Cyberspace War and Food World Order. Kucinich talking to Congress about how U.S. tax dollars help fund Taliban attacks. So much more we're not going to have time to go into, but again, my friends, I implore you to stay on top of the websites. The new audio work, the new video work, the new world next week with CorbettReport.com. Perhaps some very exciting news on the Media Monarchy front coming very soon. But this has been my sort of getting reacquainted with you. And in a way, I want to look at it as like, you know, they've always said, don't imagine you're talking to a whole big bunch of people. Just imagine you're talking to a handful of friends. And that's what I try and do with the show. So it was good, basically, to get back with you after my 6 weeks away and traveling around the country and moving to a new apartment and starting a new decade. I'm ready and willing to keep engaging in this information war. That's basically what it is. It's a war on your consciousness. I will continue to do the work that I've tried to do, and I just want to try and do it better and better and better for you. That's the best I can say it, my friends. My name's James Evan Pilato. This has been episode 151 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's the dawn of a new decade. This is January 1st, 2010. And as always, my friends, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.